Well, allow me, please, to tell you a little bit about hunger. Hunger consumes you from the inside out. It may not kill you in the immediate. It may not take you out, but it can consume you, literally. The images of hunger that we have imprinted in the back of our minds are those that we've seen, right? In the magazines, on TV, especially on those ads where they put the children. You've seen those, right? And it's a wonder that we can see those things in the news and photography again, and even in the internet. They allow us to have somewhat of a visual representation of hunger. And anyone, again, that has seen those ads of the children that are presented to us as symbols of the need and the lack. Children who are in desperate situations around the world knows what I'm talking about. Now, anyone remember those images of the German camps in Europe, right? I don't know about your reaction, but I like war movies. I like documentaries. I like to revisit these places and what happened. And I tell you, every time that I see those images, it gets to me in a very deep way. Because you can see the suffering, you can see in their faces what is going on within, an emptying of themselves. But I want to ask you something this morning. Have you ever been hungry? Like I said, hunger eats at you. We saw what hunger does to people when we hear that story of the Israelites in the desert. Remember? They first didn't have food to eat. And what did they do? Complain. It made them desperate. To the point, I imagine, of rage. Right? And that rage that moves you to say, "Help! We'll take it on you. You're the one that's here, right, Moses?" So you're it. You know, we're going to go after you. Personally, I do that they were in their right to complain. I would have too. Today in the U.S., hardly anybody experiences hunger as any of those representations that we've had. You know what it is? Months, years of lack, of want, to the point where desperation just sets in. It's just unheard of, mostly in our context. Now, that is physical hunger. And physical hunger is what Jesus uses to describe a deeper need. You with me? Physical hunger is what Jesus uses to instill in us a sense of what is that we lack. As you know, the disciples were in their normal mode when they were hearing these words that Jesus spoke. The normal mode that I'm talking about is when they're seeing things for what they were in their own eyes. You know, that literal interpretation of things, the taking what was said at face value and not thinking of those deeper implications. And Jesus' role as a rabbi, as a teacher, was to take the man and the women that were there, their understanding, to a deeper level. To open the eyes of their hearts, so to speak. Didn't we sing a little bit about that? Right? The text that we read today is set in the context of the feeding of the 5,000. You remember the story, right? The feeding of 5,000, which in reality were more than 5,000, you know, because they were only counted men. That was not equality, if you will know. But that event, in anybody's mind, was a miracle. Do you agree? I mean, out of some loaves and a few fish, 5,000 people plus have plenty to eat. Talk about the improbable, and some would say the impossible, right? Coming to be. So this experience happened before their eyes, and they're trying to cope. They're trying to figure out how did that happen in their lives. Those people who were there saw something that was definitely outstanding. And they could not explain it. So they look for Jesus the next day. And the next day, they are looking, and maybe they're looking for more of Jesus, not in the way that we think of. They were probably looking for more of Jesus's bread and fish, right? So Jesus tells them, and I'm paraphrasing here. This is the Puerto Rican version, right? You're not here because of the sign or the miracle. You're here because of the bread. See, they traveled from where they were on the other side of the Sea of Galilee to get more food. But Jesus tells them, do not, you know, I don't know about you, but whenever Jesus says do not, I sort of, you know, my antenna goes up and it says, what? Do not what? Why are you restricting me? Right? That's just me. But here's what he says. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. Wow. I don't have my glasses, so I can't see you well, okay? It's all right. I do that on purpose because I don't want to really see what you're thinking. What do you mean, do not work for the food that perishes? Is it bad? Is it bad to make an effort to get your fill? Is it wrong to feed ourselves and to put ourselves in a place of wellness, Do not work for the food that perishes. Wow. I mean, maybe this statement speaks to us directly, but not in the way that we're thinking. And we may be thinking, hey, but that is what we're supposed to do, isn't it? We're supposed to provide for ourselves. Don't we work for what we need? But I think that perhaps what happens is that we are one-sided in our efforts. You follow what I'm saying? Maybe what's happening is that's most of what we're thinking about in our lives. Jesus said in Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what?
Righteousness.
For they will be filled." Is that us? Again, I ask, is that us? Are we hungry for righteousness? I can tell you one thing. God has really been good to me. God has really provided in so many contexts, so many situations. I've been hungry. But you know what? Food cures that. Right? David and Ellen know the story already that, you know, we spent 6 weeks eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches as we were young, because that's all we had. Man, it makes you crave, right? Man, I don't know, but you know, in the cartoons, there's like a cloud that pops up right here, and it says, "Give me some meat." But you see, if you have been hungry for something that you cannot produce, that's a little different. Again, when you're hungry for food, you can seek, right? You can ask. You go to your family, or to your friends, or you go to Mount Air Christian Church during the week. There's always a solution, at least in the United States. Because again, we know that beyond the U.S. is different. But for us, if you seek, you shall find. But righteousness, righteousness is the one thing that we cannot completely have on our own. Again, I'm glad I don't have my glasses, because you might be looking at me like saying, "What are you saying, Pastor? What do you mean that I cannot be good? What are you saying, Pastor? What do you mean that I cannot be straight?" I wonder again, why is it that Jesus tells these people in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And this is what the disciples say to Jesus. What must we do to perform the works of God? You see what I'm talking about? It seems like there's this idea that we can get there. There's this idea that if I do the right things, if I behave in the right way, I will be righteous. That if I put all my thought, all my efforts to the grind, that I will accomplish it. So they inquire, Jesus, tell me, what must I do? The same question that Nicodemus asked. You remember? In John 3, he asked, what is it? What's the trick? What's the secret? Please tell me. I want to know. If you're paying attention, maybe you can hear in those words and in those questions, hunger and thirst. To me, that's a sign of that deeper need. See, if we have to ask the question, that means that we're lacking. Don't you think? I know I'm getting a little philosophical here. But if you're asking for it, that means that you don't have it. Don't you agree? Because if you don't have it, then there's something that's telling you you're not there yet. And maybe that you need to supply that for yourself. And since we are so self-supporting, we immediately go to that place where we think, well, we can actually produce this somehow. And if there's a key to producing it, I want to know so that I can produce it, and therefore I will not lack anymore, right? That sounds logical to me. But again, it also tells us that something's lacking. So the equivalent question would be, how can we work it out? Believe me, I think that we make great attempts at it, right? Because we're in that effort of being better, and we're in that effort of trying to do the right thing. We're in that effort of reading the Bible sometimes. And you didn't get that, did you? We just work at it. Thanksgiving dinner, right? Do you think that's awesome? Right? And maybe we're thinking, you see, we're doing this. We're working it out, right? All those great works of service that we do. Great. Super. Right? Man, we're feeding people. We're doing all this for the glory of God. And there we go. We're starting like, we're getting it. We're almost there. As a matter of fact, I smell it. We speak of justice. That's a big one, right? Nowadays, actually, in the last 100 years, it's been like the theme. Justice. We must work for justice. We must work for equality. We must have compassion, generosity, kindness. Don't you think those are great?
Yeah.
Awesome. The problem is that we think that if we get it, then we'll have it. Gosh, you can even say reach, teach, serve, right? That was so great. It sounds beautiful. It sounds like music to my ears. Actually, you know what? If we could do that alone, we would have it. But none of these works produce the righteousness that we seek and need. Hear me out, please. I'm not knocking it down. I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying that like bread to the hungry is a temporary fix. You get it? Because bread to the hungry will calm the hunger for a minute. But the next day, you're back where you started. You follow, right? See, if we are using those things, those activities, to get that righteousness for ourselves, we're going to have to do a heck of a lot of running. Not that it's bad. As a matter of fact, I think it's good. I'll get there. But this is what Jesus promises. Jesus promises to fill that need for you permanently. Did you hear that? Did you really hear it? I mean, because if I heard that, I would have said, glory to God. Right? Glory to God that that need has been completely filled for now and forever. Because you know what that means? I don't have to run anymore. You know what that means? I don't have to make all these crazy efforts and strain my mind to wrap it around what's happening around us. All the craziness, all the illnesses, all the injustice, all the inequality, all the stuff that is among us, right? His request from the people is just one, that they believe in the Son of God. Isn't it?
Hallelujah.
Isn't it simple? Yes. I think it's simple. You believe in the Son of God? If you do, you'll receive an incredible blessing. Now, it doesn't mean that you're excused. You see, that's the part that we think that, okay, so if I have this, then it's over, right? I don't have to work it anymore. Right? So hear this well. Again, I'm not knocking down all the works of righteousness that we may do. I'm not knocking down the fact that we're hungering and thirsting after it. What I'm saying is that we're not to rely on those. You see the difference? We're not to rely on those for our own justification. In order to fool ourselves into thinking that we're providing our own righteousness and that we're bringing that to the table. Rather, what we are to rely in is in Jesus Christ. Because he did it all. Thus, the things that we do are not because we're getting something, but because we already have it. Hello?
Jesus.
Right? It's not because we are trying to get there. We're not trying to fill ourselves, but because we have been filled with everything that you need. With everything that is needed for us to move forward in this life. Okay, let me ask you something. How many of you people strain to have your first breath in the morning? Okay, that's right. None of you. Right? You don't have to make that effort because that breath is already there. You follow? And that's the thing that we sometimes forget. Jesus is already there. Jesus already did what we needed to do. We're to rely in Jesus, and the things that we do because of who we already are. Okay, so any Americans here? Americans? All right. Do you eat apple pie?
Yes.
It seems to me that apple pie is as American as it gets, right? All right. I eat arroz con gandules. You know what that is? Some of you do pigeon peas. All right. That's because I'm from Puerto Rico and that's what we do. We eat coconut flan, right? We eat all this stuff. Because we are Puerto Ricans. And you all eat the things that you do because you are Americans, right? So we can do the things that we do because we are in Christ. You get it? If you are in Christ, then you will produce these things. Then that will flow out of what the Spirit of God is doing in your life. Out of the revelation that is coming through the Word of God for us. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then he says, I am the bread of life. I am. And whoever comes to me will never be hungry. You can breathe now. who comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Give us that bread, Lord. Give us that one. This raisin cinnamon one. The one that is juicy and tasty and sweet, right? I don't know, but I like the honey wheat, right? Give us that bread. Give us that. And if possible, Lord, sliced and buttered, so that we can taste the goodness, so that we may save you, the fulfillment of our soul. And experience to be full. Even when we may think we're starving. Let's pray. God, your promises are something else. Your words are a challenge to our intellect. And you continue to say these things. They've come all the way from 2,000 years and beyond, and they still reverberate in our ears and in our minds, and we still try to explain it. And it's so hard for us because our eyes are set on this physical world. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts. Help us to see what you see. Help us to know what you know, to be settled in you, so that the works of life may flow through our lives and impact this world in the only way that you can do. In Jesus, we pray. Amen.